Hi, it's Amy Siskin of The Weekly List and author of the book, The List, and welcome to episode 149 of The Weekly List Podcast. This is the 15th segment in a section called Democracy at Risk. Welcome. So in today's podcast, we are going to discuss, are we sleepwalking into authoritarianism? In this final episode before November 8th, which is the date of the 2022 midterms, just 3 weeks away, has a country become sort of complacent and apathetic to the issue of democracy at risk? Are Democrats back on our heels because of the economy? And are we therefore at risk of having Republicans take back the House, the Senate, and importantly, statewide offices that would put Trump in a position in the 2024 election of executing a coup of our democracy? That's the question and the fear as we head into this election. And in our last segment, I was much more sanguine about our prospects, but things have turned as the economy turned. We're going to talk about that more today. First, I just want to give a quick update on the archiving of this project of The Weekly List, not only the lists and the podcast, but all the associated materials, to let you all know that they are safely now at the University of Pennsylvania's Annenberg School. And on September 20th, Annenberg held its first post-COVID in-person event, and it was a glorious reception for this project. Thank you for those of you who were able to join us in Philadelphia. Much work has gone into making sure that not only the list and the podcast will be safely stored for posterity, but also the collection will include artifacts and the stories of what life was like during this time in America as we came close to descending into authoritarianism. And as we know, as you've been following this podcast and we switched from getting back to normal to democracy at risk, that battle is still very much upon us. Now, as I was driving home from Philadelphia and the reception the next morning, the radio cleared to New York Attorney General Letitia James having a press conference, and she was announcing that she had filed a sweeping lawsuit against Trump and his three adult children for lying to lenders and insurers by fraudulently inflating the value of his assets by billions of dollars. Attorney General James sought to permanently bar Trump, Ivanka, Donald Jr., and Eric from serving as an officer or director of a New York company ever again, as well as to appoint an independent monitor to run the Trump Organization and prevent the company from acquiring real estate in New York for the next 5 years. She also sent a criminal referral to federal prosecutors in Manhattan and the IRS. Trump responded with his usual way, now on Trump's social, since again, he's still not allowed on mainstream social media, calling it a, quote, another witch hunt by racist Attorney General Letitia James. Again, only in Trump's America can there be racism against white men, but here we go. That lawsuit is part of a growing list of legal woes that face Trump, which we have been covering extensively in these podcasts. They include the Department of Justice investigation of confidential materials at Mar-a-Lago, which we discussed in the last episode, his efforts to reverse the 2020 election, which we've also discussed, as well as the criminal investigation in Fulton County, Georgia, for his role in attempting to change that state's 2020 results. Remember the call to Secretary of State Ratzenberger, I just need 11,000, whatever it was, 821 or 781 votes. That's all. But as we head into the final days before the midterms, the DOJ seems to be holding back any indictments publicly due to the 60-day rule of not publicly announcing prior to elections. And so we head into the midterms without any real consequences for Trump. Let me paraphrase that. With no consequences for Trump. There have been over 800 arrests for people involved in the January 6th insurrection, but it's really, at this point, the low-level folks. It's crept up somewhat to include the two hate groups that were involved in it, the militia group, the Oath Keepers, and the far-right group, the Proud Boys. Low-level people and now upper-level people starting to be investigated for possible sedition and the first Proud Boy pleading guilty to that, but it hasn't reached the real instigators, Trump or his inner circle. That's much of the backdrop and the frustration of many as we head into these midterms. So, as we head into the midterms, what does it feel like? That's going to be the question, because as you'll recount, as we've discussed in these podcasts and history tells us, sometimes it's not the first bite at the apple where a want to be authoritarian takes power. We look at the example of Adolf Hitler and others in history. Are we setting up for 2020 having been a trial run? It was very important that in this particular election, as I've been discussing about warning, sending the alarm bells, that the Trump and his Republican allies have a very specific plan for installing loyalists ahead of the 2024 election into offices during the 2022 midterm. For better or worse, and I think prior people had thought for the worse, a lot of the people running on the Republican ticket are election deniers. It's actually fairly hard to comprehend how mainstream this has become. More than half of the Republicans on the ballot in midterms, 291 in all, have either denied or questioned the outcome of the 2020 election. Of those 291, 171 are in safe districts where they are likely to win. Another 48 are in tight races. So you could have over 220 folks in elected office, potentially, who believe this big lie that the 2020 election was stolen by Trump, and they can get elected that way. Now, as you know, after Biden took office, I had been the glass half full optimist, believing we would be on the road to normalcy and we would be using this weekly list project as a trail map back to finding our way to normal. Instead, the exact opposite has happened. The Republican Party has been completely subsumed by Trump. Extremists like Marjorie Taylor Greene, she was something I tracked in my weekly list project, the fact that she was a QAnon conspiracist, who is a noted racist and anti-Semite. When she first announced that she was running and then won the primary for the Republican Party ahead of the 2020 election, Trump had celebrated a QAnon conspiracist being on the ticket, but the mainstream Republican Party had largely rejected her, some more vocally. Now she looks to be the major voice and power player within the House Republicans. And Kevin McCarthy, who, if the Republicans do win the House in 2022, will have to be in the good graces of Marjorie Taylor Greene, a complete whack job by any measure, in order to be majority leader. So that has become the face of the Republican Party as we record this last episode ahead of midterms. It's barely recognizable. It never reverted back to normal. We don't know what any of their policies, they don't have a platform. It's really still this Trumpism of vilifying immigrants, talking about crime in cities, which is meant to be cities where there are a lot of people of color, and vilifying and putting hate against those who are LGBTQ, against those who are people of color, against women. And Roe had been a central issue and remains such in certain races. But largely, what's happened since the summer is it's kind of faded into the backdrop. And the waters, have become more muddied. A poll out today by the New York Times and Siena said that the vast majority of Americans believe democracy is at risk. But even this poll and even the country can't come to agreement with what Democracy at Risk even means. And that's part of the propaganda and the lies that have become mainstreamed in our country, along with a big lie. We all know, if you've been following this project, what authoritarianism really is and what a real risk to our democracy is. We watched it happen in the light of day on January 6th. The leader of our country trying to execute a coup when he lost an election. And the way that this country was run increasingly during those 4 years. But even the way this question is phrased, do you believe the democracy at risk? Republicans believe, because of Trumpism and what they see on Fox News and Newsmax, that authoritarianism to them is Biden and the federal government and the election being unfair. So you can see how the truth is no longer the truth, that propaganda has allowed two separate versions of reality to coexist in this country, which is part of the findings in this poll, that our country is so divided that 1 in 5 Americans have either had a fight with a family person or a friend over politics. We are a country divided and a country that believes, I would say, two separate sets of reality, but there's only one set of truth. One of the shocking numbers out of this poll is that, would you vote for an election denier, somebody who does not believe that the 2020 election was won by Biden? 71% of Republicans said yes. Even 37% of independents and 12% of Democrats said yes. That's how mainstream the big lie has become. 41% of Republicans believe the midterm elections will not be accurate, will not be fair. And that is an extremely scary thing, because when you sow doubt about the election outcome, that we risk again repeating what happened in 2020. And this time with the dry run of 2020, doing it again with 2024, with a group of people who full on believe that this election is being stolen from them. And the alarm bells are being sounded in reality-based land. Reuters reported that 15 senators, including 13 Democrats and 2 independents, sounded the alarm about midterms in an October 6th letter to the federal agency, the Election Assistance Commission, saying election workers are needed for midterm elections. We need more workers, citing, quote, recruitment efforts have been further hampered by the increase in threats and harassment targeting election workers. This is all still the same story we've been telling since the 2020 election, when Trump told his folks, his followers, that the election was not fair, that they were taking it away from him. Reuters documented more than 850 threats and hostile messages to election workers and officials since Trump's baseless claims about the stolen election. So now we have to fear Republicans not believing the outcome, there not being sufficient staffers to actually man the polls at the upcoming midterms. And again, this is just the midterms. But pending the outcome of these midterms, we might be installing election deniers. By the numbers, we'll probably install a couple hundred of them into positions of power, potentially into positions of power in states where the 2024 election will be decided. We've talked about the 6 states: Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Georgia, Arizona, Nevada, all have elections for Attorney General, Secretary of State, and Governor. So much is at stake in this 2022 election. I want to also mention, just as a side note, the final January 6th special House committee hearing was held this past week. And that's something we've also been following. And, again, there was great hope that this House committee, who did a fantastic job, we covered this in one of the episodes over the summer with their hearings, of bringing Republicans forward as witnesses to tell the story of an attempted coup. and the final hearing was very much based on Trump's role. But it kind of left us flat. You know, I've been a big cheerleader of what they've done so far, but this final hearing ahead of the midterms was sort of just a summary of what we had heard before. There was some new stuff that we'll discuss today, but largely it came and it went. And there was nothing ahead of midterms to excite people, to draw attention back to what had almost happened. I think it just sort of came and it passed, and people in a way felt a sense of anxiety and frustration with the lack of accountability, that Trump was able to get away with this and have no consequences. As we spoke about in the beginning of this podcast, he has all these legal woes he's facing, but nothing has gotten through yet. So what this last hearing found, the evidence showed that Trump's, he planned with his allies ahead of the election. They had texts and messages and various, testimony to show that he had planned with his allies to declare victory regardless of the outcome. It showed that White House officials had explained to him in great detail that likely because of the pandemic and the way the votes came in, that the voting on the election night would show him ahead before mail-in ballots, which was a good portion of how Democrats voted because of the pandemic, after they came in after the election, and that he could not depend on the results on election night. So he knew. But it also showed, even after the election, him acknowledging that he had lost, even mentioning it privately, but refusing to admit defeat. Also noteworthy, the role of the Secret Service, and we've talked in the past episodes about how the Secret Service has not been cooperating, how they've erased text messages and other ways of communicating that should have been preserved. But in this hearing, we heard that the Secret Service was also central, that they knew more than a week before January 6th of possible violence. They even planned for themselves, bringing protective gear that day. But clearly, some of the members of the Secret Service were so close to Trump that they were more concerned about protecting him and what he had underway than protecting Mike Pence, that members of the House and the Senate whose lives were at risk. They actually played a video from inside the U.S. Capitol of Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. It was Nancy Pelosi speaking to Mike Pence in the company of other Senate and House leaders, begging for help. Very collected and calm by Nancy Pelosi, our House Speaker. But clearly Trump was not going to help anyone at all. And Pence knew this. Pence refused to even get in a car with Secret Service agents because he was concerned about where they would take him after he nearly was overtaken by insurrectionists. But it shows how, the level of panic, the level of wanting help and no help coming for a very long time. Days later, after this hearing, NBC News reported a Secret Service agent had been in regular contact with Oath Keepers ahead of January 6th. And we have an ongoing hearing of the leaders of the Oath Keepers for sedition. Again, we'll know more after the election on the role of the Secret Service. Finally, the committee voted unanimously 9-0 to subpoena Trump. Trump has been on Trump Social and anywhere else that will listen, complaining about the hearing, saying he never got his day in court. He hasn't had a chance to speak. Well, now they've called his bluff, but there's, again, despite his bluster and complaints about being silenced, it's highly doubtful he will appear. And given the chances that Democrats are likely to lose control of the House, this likely, unless they do some sort of impromptu hearing, will be the last that we will hear from the House committee ahead of elections. So that buildup and that hope that this would be the expletive that would really ignite the party has not happened. I want to also note globally that the battle continues between authoritarianism versus democracy. Putin's invasion of Ukraine is not going well for him, fortunately, but it continues. China's Xi continues to consolidate power, announcing that the country will stop releasing GDP and other economic statistics. Italy elected a nationalist, the most far right since World War II, Giorgia Meloni, who is trying to consolidate government and take power there. Brazil's Bolsonaro has already injected doubt into the country's upcoming election, saying the vote will be rigged. Iran is literally beating back protesters in the streets and at universities after the killing of a 22-year-old woman during detention for allegedly wearing her head cover incorrectly. The morality police beat her to death, and there's been protests. So we continue on a global basis to have this sort of, you know, I guess global argument in a way of what will be with the world. Will the authoritarians win? Will the democracies win? And Biden taking over as president and reestablishing some level of normalcy in the world order, having the EU and the UK and other allies united behind Ukraine under Biden's leadership has been refreshing. But it might be a temporary blip. And again, the importance of this 2022 midterm and holding on to the Senate, the House, these important state races in those six states to control how the 2024 election will be administered, whether it will be democracy or not, or whether 2020 will have been a trial run for a coup in 2024. So, you know, as we head into these midterms, those of you listening, and it is incumbent on you to do all you can to remind everyone that the most important thing we can do as citizens is to vote. It is our voice. It is our power within a democracy. It's a democracy if you can keep it. And the way to keep it is to maintain a sense of stability and elect people who believe in our democracy. This election could not be more important. And everyone listening needs to wake up, remind their friends of that, remind their classmates, their neighbors, to get out and exercise your democratic duty. There's a sense of complacency. There's a sense of apathy. There's a sense of Stockholm syndrome that we did all this in 2018. We did all this in 2022, and still it continues. But that, folks, is where we are. We are in the midst of a battle to ward off authoritarianism, and no one is coming to save us. So please vote. Please spread the word. We'll check in again after midterms. Stay safe.